And you are listening to KPFT. It's time for, 2 minutes after 12, so it's time for the manager's report. This is not Dwayne Bradley. This is Labor Day. And we forced Dwayne to take a day off.
Taking a much needed vacation.
Yeah,
Dwayne. Much deserved.
Dwayne is taking a vacation. And so it takes two people to replace him. So I'm Otis McClay, the program director. And with me is Donna Platt.
Yes, hello.
Development director. And I'm very pleased to say that we're really lucky that Donna knows what's going on.
Oh, goodness. I know about the money.
we'll give the report, and then we're gonna talk about elections with Dennis Fetters, who is the election supervisor for the KPFT signal area. And then we'll be taking your calls, as we normally do on the manager's report. So, Donna.
Okay.
Go for it.
Well, as many of y'all may know, we're in the last month of our fiscal year. September 30th is the end of fiscal year for all Pacifica stations. We've raised to date about $980,000. That's 92% of our goal. And this is the first fiscal year that we've had a revenue goal over $1 million. This is pretty special. The summer fund drive results look good. We have about 70% fulfillment. About $180,000 in from that. So thank you to everyone who's paid your pledge. Everybody else, please do so soon by the end of our fiscal year. Maybe in the next couple of weeks we'll have it processed in time. Thanks. Events. We've been having lots of events this year, as you've noticed. Let's see. Last time, I think Dwayne reported on Jenny's Noodle House, and that day we received a couple more checks, and that brought the total over $3,400. So that was a great event for our wheelchair access project, which is scheduled to break ground. I guess it was scheduled last week, but no, it did. Sunday, August 24th. And so we're moving forward with that. I know that Dwayne picked up the blueprints on Friday, so we're moving forward. Okay. Also, we had the Marcus Garvey Day Rasta Vibrations event, which, without any live bands, brought in over $1,000. Also, Rad Rich's Backyard Back to School Bash brought in just over $1,000. And we had a lot of younger listeners come out to that event, so that was really nice outreach, I think. And this coming Saturday, the 6th, we have a Latino Fiesta in the backyard. And on the 21st, Mr. and Mrs. V are putting together what they call Baskets, Bellies, and Blues. The baskets are your picnic baskets that you're asked to bring. Then we're going to have belly dancers and, of course, lots of blues music. Let's see what else is going on. Our next drive, our next fun drive, will be October 7th through the 22nd. We'll be calling for volunteers again, and the goal for that drive will be somewhere around $375,000. Again, get your memberships paid. We're going to be talking about voting in the election soon. We're running a fiscal year-end mail campaign right now. You may have received something in the mail this last weekend, and that is very important. We do have a little ways to go to get to our goal. I'd say about $30,000, and you know, I have faith our members can help us do that. And then one quick little news out of the membership department. Our membership coordinator is gone as of last week, and we've been kind of playing catch-up over there, and if anything is strange about your membership, maybe you haven't received a membership card or you've noticed that your check hasn't cleared, please give us a call so that we can get your account straightened out before these elections take place. 713-526-4000. You can dial me directly at extension 315. And that's about it, I think.
Yes. Actually, that's plenty.
It's quite a bit, I know.
Yeah, but you know, just to kind of mention programming, basically what we're doing is sticking with this schedule, which may not be the perfect schedule, but it is the schedule that we're sticking with until the end of the year to give everything a chance to settle. So
it's been working well. I mean, as far as fundraising goes.
It seems to be. Of course, one of the things that we're going to try to do is extend this fundraising process more or less throughout the year.
Absolutely.
To remind people that we are listener-sponsored, and if you are a listener who is not a member, maybe you're not aware of that. We are listener-sponsored, and people can become members at any time.
Right. It's really easy to do if you can get on the web and use our PayPal link on there. And we get, especially this year, we've gotten a lot of members that way, new members, and people who had pledged before but maybe hadn't for years and years and years. So that's always available at www.kpft.org. And, gosh, anytime, Colin, you know, the more pledges, the more membership gifts we get when we're not in Fund Drive, that just means that we don't have to spend as much time in Fund Drive. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So. And the real idea is to have as many members
absolutely
as we can.
Oh, I forgot to give you all the membership number.
Oh, yeah.
8,678 total members as of the end of August.
And I guess I feel that in a city of 4 million people, we should have more members.
Right, and a listenership of 143,000.
Something like that.
So it's about, so it hovers at about 6%. And I have a feeling with these elections coming up, we're going to see quite a little boost with renewals and things.
Yeah, which actually brings us to the elections issue. One of the things that's happened here, and this is about, 2 weeks ago, Saturday, the KPFK Interim Local Advisory Board approved the bylaws, so that actually the new bylaws are now in effect, which means that the election process can begin.
Yay!
With us in the studio is Dennis Fetters, who is the election supervisor of the elections in the KPFT Signal area.
Hi.
And Dennis actually doesn't work for the station. He works for the national election supervisor.
That's correct.
We don't have any authority over Dennis. I can't even shut him up. Tell us about the elections and how that's going to work, Dennis.
Sure, Odie. In fact, the national board is meeting tomorrow to vote on our elections timeline. And the proposed timeline is going to really jumpstart rather quickly. We're looking at September the 5th, which is Friday. We'll open up the nominations period. And the nominations period will then run for 60 days. And then there'll be a three-week window to print and mail the ballots. And then after that, there will be about a 25-day campaign period. And then after that, we'll tabulate the ballots, and all in all, this process, we'll have a four-month election timeline, and we'll wrap up the process by the end of December. And at that point, we will have elected and seated a brand-new 24-member board of directors for KPFT.
Okay. Now, I should mention that national board meeting is a phone meeting, and it'll be
that's correct.
It'll be carried tomorrow on kpftx.org. You can go to the kpftx.org webpage, and that meeting starts at 5 o'clock.
I'll be listening.
Our time, and you know that way everybody can hear what's going on with the national board. There is still some contention about this whole process, and that may come out tomorrow. But basically, it looks as though the bylaws are in effect and the elections are going to happen. And we're acting as though they are.
Yes, we are. In fact, the election...
You've been working for a while.
The election committee has been meeting for the past year here, pretty much on a biweekly basis, the KPFT election committee. And we have really done all of our homework. We are ready and raring to go. We've got our candidate application form is ready. Once we do get an approved timeline, we will make that available. It'll be on the web. We have been working on candidate outreach efforts for about the past 3 months now, and we've identified about 50 prospective candidates for the board.
Now, who can run?
Anybody that is a listener member of KPFT and lives within the Signal area.
Okay. So, basically, it's open to everybody.
Just about.
And who do we want to run?
Well, we want people that obviously are familiar with the Pacifica mission, what we're doing here at KPFT. It would do a candidate well to have some sense of history as to how Pacifica got started back in the 40s with Lou Hill. And it would also they would also do a well to have a sense of history of KPFT, but that's not really necessary. You know, somebody that has just moved into the area, likes what KPFT is doing, you know, listens to us a lot, and is a listener member, then they can run.
Okay, and then they basically are going to have the ability that board collectively will be setting policy for the station.
Yes, the board will participate actually in the hiring process of the general manager. It will also participate in the budgetary matters that affect KPFT. So,
and then I guess, what is it, three of those members will be going to the national board?
It is, yeah. I believe it is three that are elected to the national board, and that's going to be done on a pretty quick process as well. The board is going to be seated in December, and then they meet in January to elect their three representatives to the national board.
And the five other signal areas, the four other signal areas
same
will
thing.
Be doing the same thing.
Same thing. Now, we will also have simultaneous elections involving the staff. Out of the 24 seats, six of them will be devoted to both paid and unpaid staff, and then the remaining 18 will be for the listener members. And for this particular election here, the first, the top nine vote getters will be elected to 3-year terms, and the bottom nine will get 1-year terms, and then they will have to stand for re-election in 2004.
So we're looking for people from every community that listens to KPFT and perhaps communities that are not yet represented.
Underrepresented communities, certainly that has been one of the focuses of our candidate outreach efforts. You know, typically the discussions of diversity center around race and gender. We've taken it really further. We look at race and we look at ethnicity. We look at socioeconomic status. We would really like to see some age diversity, some diversity with respect to one's sexual orientation, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and sometimes age doesn't necessarily mean old people like me. Sometimes it means young people.
Exactly.
There's no lower age limit, is there?
There is some question to that. I would think that to be safe, 18 years old.
18 or so.
Right.
Yeah, although we do have a number of listeners who are younger than that. But the issue is, I guess, getting to the board meetings.
Well, that and whether or not they're able to be legally responsible for any actions that the board may take.
Okay. Let's see. What was I going to say? Yes, the issue of diversity was one of the major issues. Many people may know that that was a question about how much diversity language could be put in the bylaws. And at least... Excuse me. At least what's happened is that this fairly conservative bylaws, which don't specify diversity requirements, which means all the more that our candidate pool has to reflect the diversity of this area.
Exactly.
And that's the way we achieve diversity. So
the bylaws, as they are now comprised, do allow for a committee of inclusion. But there are no hard numbers or any mechanical means
But it's the intention in Pacifica is to have these fully diverse boards, that these boards need to be representative of people of color, women. One of the things that was proposed was 50% people of color, 50% women, and that could, you know, those would be looked at separately. So you had at least 50% women and at least 50% people of color. That couldn't be put in the bylaws, at least, you know, according to a number of attorneys.
Legal opinions, right.
So that puts on the election process the burden of making sure that kind of diversity occurs on the board, that we have a board that is truly diverse.
Sure, and we are actually using those 50% numbers as a starting point. And then, again, we're looking at the other areas of diversity that I've just previously mentioned.
That becomes more of a policy than a legal requirement.
Exactly.
So that then we can do it.
Yeah,
I firmly
believe that in the end we will have a very diverse board, newly elected KPFT board of directors.
Yeah, and I can say that some of the national scuttlebutt is that Houston, because it's in the South, will for some reason, because it's in the South, elect this sort of all-white board, and I certainly don't expect that to happen. That's not the way it is at this
Unfortunately,
station.
There's been some demagoguery to that effect from some of the East Coast people, and it really distresses me and disappoints me when I hear that, because obviously those people have not been to Houston.
Yeah,
and
haven't seen
that's just not going to happen. That will not happen, what they are claiming.
All right. If you have, Donna, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Oh, no. I have a lot more faith in our listeners that we're a little more cosmopolitan than that. But
Houston.
Yeah. Anyway.
So we want to see more members. In order to vote in the election, there is a kind of a membership cutoff, that 45-day
cutoff.
That's
right. They do still have an opportunity to join KPFT, become a listener member, and become a voter. The cutoff is 45 days prior to making the ballots available. And we're looking at around November 25th. So 45 days prior to November 25th, which is give or take a couple days, will be October the 5th, which is just a couple days prior to our next fund drive. So don't wait until the next fundraising drive to think that you can become a listener member, because it'll be too late by then. Now's the time to do it. And you can go online. We've got PayPal. You can put it on credit card. You can walk a pledge in. We'll be happy to fill out the... Yeah, you could actually come in now. And
Otis would fill out the form. You could actually call during business hours, 526-713-526-4000. You could do it over the phone.
Sure.
This is a very easy process to become a member.
$25 will...
Well, that puts you in a weird category, unless you're a student or a fixed income person.
Well, right, but that's what the bylaw language says. We like to get 30.
A voting member is $25.
That's correct.
A KPFT member is $35.
We would like that extra $10.
Yes. Yeah. And of course, it all goes to support KPFT.
And that's been $35 for how many decades now?
I think it was raised once in like 72 or something.
Right.
It's been $35 ever since.
For 30 years.
Yeah. My dream is 20,000 members at $50.
That would be awesome.
That would provide our budget, that we wouldn't have to beg and plead often. Anyway, we're going to be back in a couple of minutes with your phone calls to 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738, if you have questions or comments about what's going on here at KPFT Houston. This is the Manager's Report. Dwayne is on vacation, so it's Donna Platt, me, Otis McClay, and Dennis Fetters here to take your calls. Actually, what we have with us one of our members from Minnesota. David, hi. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
You had a question about membership. When Donna is the perfect question to answer that. Go ahead and ask that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I became a member, a contributing member, sometime this last year. I don't recall when.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was during an Air Voices program. I was worried about the expiration of my membership. I'm not entirely informed. Although I have been listening to your conversation, I'm not entirely informed on as to whether or not my membership is expiring, and I was worried, so I gave you a phone call.
Well, good. I'm glad you did. And call me during the week also, because I'd like to look up your record.
Okay.
Basically, it's a 12-month membership.
Okay.
From the day you join. And if you joined in the past year, you're probably okay, but we can double-check on that.
Yeah.
If you give an additional gift during that year of your membership, it won't automatically renew you unless you call and ask us for that to be a renewal.
Oh, okay.
Now, if it's within, like, 2 months of your expiration date, it will automatically renew you because you're in a renewal cycle anyway. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, well, over the past year, the time has certainly gone by pretty fast.
I know.
Everything happening. And,
yeah.
I don't recall if it's been a half a year or a year now.
Well, and we've been saying for at least two, maybe three of the drives, this was the last time, and now it's finally here. And
we thought it was.
Yeah, we really did. We really did think it was.
But it actually turns out that the last one was about right, if the dates that Dennis said will happen.
Yeah.
David, how do you listen?
I listen over the internet. Mm-hmm. I work at an internet service provider. Actually, we are a major part of the internet backbone up here in Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to commend you. You offer a wonderful service, and I listen often.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, David.
The MP3 stream is down right now because Roadrunner is.
David, it may be easier for you to email me, and I can check your record then.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay.
Okay.
Is there an email available that you can give me now?
Membership at kpft.org.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, sure.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, David.
Hey, Dennis, I have a quick question. What are internet listeners, I would hope so, eligible if they're not in the Houston area?
You know, Odie and I were just discussing that, and I'm going to have to go back and look at the bylaws. I had a question a couple of months ago regarding any geographical restrictions on a member. Mm-hmm. As far as voting, it may have even been a candidate. And honestly, I'm going to have to go back and look at that. That's why I mentioned that earlier, because
okay.
I had...
What I've seen is that as a member, you can be a member of any station, but you got to pick your station if you're on the internet.
Oh.
You know, if you're living in Belgium, basically you're going to have to pick one of the five Pacifica stations to be a member of. You can only vote in one signal area, but you can do that. Here's what we're going to do for people who are calling 713-526-5738. We're going to do Art Bell style. We don't have anybody to answer the phone, so just keep ringing, and when we answer, it means you are on the air. And we're going to start here with line one. Hi, line one. Who's that?
Hi, this is Susan.
Hi, Susan. You're on the air.
Yeah, you answered a couple of questions I had already. I was wondering about that business of expiring memberships. So your membership is good from the time you join, not for any particular fiscal year or anything.
No. We changed that a couple of years ago, so now it's from the day you join.
I see. Yeah, and then since there was that man from Minnesota calling before me, I wondered whether that obviously is a signal, even though it's on an internet,
mm-hmm.
rather than coming out over the airwaves, per se. And I was just wondering, do those people get a chance to join labs if they're close enough to the lab location? I mean, say somebody was in, Austin or Bryant College Station or something, could they become a member of KPFT lab?
I'm looking at Dennis.
We're not sure. There is some bylaw language that addresses the issue of geographic restrictions, and honestly, I'm going to have to go back and look at that. One thing I would like to point out, that this is the very first time that we're doing this. This is a grand experiment here. And some of the rules are going to have to be implemented as we go along, simply because
evolution.
We have not been through this process.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, since the internet has become so available to so many people, one of the things that I had hoped was that in this new election process and in the reconstitution of Pacifica that we would have a great, national listenership that would augment these individual stations that have become perhaps in some instances a little hidebound, if I dare say so, as you mentioned about Northeasterners or people who don't know Texas. It's sad that that sometimes geography does influence people's attitudes towards diversity and towards what might be of
interest. We're not absolutely certain what that is. KPFT has contributed substantially to national programming. Our news department contributes to Free Speech Radio News and to Peace Watch.
Right.
We have done specials here. This most recent Juneteenth special was almost entirely
in the expanding privacy
produced here.
Yeah.
Expanding privacy, exactly as Donna said. So KPFT's representation to the listeners,
right,
nationally
has been pretty
diverse.
Yeah, I was thinking of whoever gets elected to go to the national from here. One would hope would be a strong voice for speaking up for the fact that we are a diverse community here, yeah, and that we are doing a good job in that regard.
Right. I think a lot of the stuff that's been said has been more or less propaganda and not accurately reflecting how people feel.
Right.
That's my guess.
Right. Uh-huh. One of the things that I also wondered was, will there be, do you anticipate that there will be unanimity to some extent at the national board meeting about the legal aspect of the bylaws now? Or do you think that there will be some problems?
I think it's a great question. And I think that the way to find out would be to listen tomorrow on KPFDX starting at 5 Central Time.
We
have learned not to make any predictions about the behavior of our interim Pacific and National Board. There also is going to be a meeting in New York that currently scheduled. It'll be the weekend of the 20th of September, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. The National Board is going to meet in New York, mainly to look at the budget. At least that's what seems to be on the table right now.
Right. And my last question, I guess, is when you do have candidates finally locally for the board, will any of their positions or their pitch for election be on air on KPFT?
No, absolutely. We're going to keep it a big secret. No. That is an interesting question. The answer to your question is a resounding yes. Again, KPFT is taking the elections very seriously. There will be no electioneering on the air.
No, but they will be able to present their positions.
But I suspect what we're going to end up doing, if you think about it, if we were to give, let's say we had 100 candidates, which is probably something around what it'll be, just to give each one 10 minutes.
Yes.
And you know, they can make a statement and take some phone calls.
Right.
You figure out the math on that.
That's a lot of
it
time.
It comes out to something like, 15 two-hour shows or something. It's going to be more or less kind of 2 weeks of programming about the candidates.
Uh-huh.
And we'll probably have to do it by lot so that the times they get and who they end up with on the air is totally done by chance.
Right.
But yes, and there's also a good possibility that some of this is also going to be carried on Houston Media Source. We're going to be working with them too.
I see.
Right. We will have separate candidate forums that will be away from the station. There'll be kind of town hall / candidate forum meetings that we hope will be videotaped by our local public access TV station. Also, the candidates will have the opportunity to develop up to a 500-word written statement, which will be posted on our website. So there's going to be ample opportunity.
That gets mailed too, doesn't it?
We're going to also, as part of what we do to get the word out, we're going to mail a folio to all of the to all 8,700 of the listener members.
Wow, that sounds great.
With the ballots.
With the
That won't have the individual candidate statements, but it'll have a summary.
Actually, I think that the folio is going to be separate from from the ballots. Uh-huh. It'll be kind of a booklet form, kind of like the League of Women Voters
does.
Right. That is in our budget, and that's a pretty costly piece of literature to mail out, but we are committed to it.
Yes, it is.
Susan, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
713-526-5738. This is the manager's report on a rainy Labor Day.
Hey, I have a question.
I don't know
question.
How many people are barbecuing in the backyard.
Oh, my gosh. Who knows?
Well, I mean, a smoker would work.
Oh. Dennis, where can people look at the bylaws? Because we've been talking about it a lot, but the new past bylaws.
WBAI.net.
Okay.
And there's also another great website for a listener to apprise themselves of the history of Pacifica, and that's Radio For All. That's the numeral 4.net.
Mm-mm.
Or is that
.org?
I'm sorry, .org. Yeah, but it's radio, R-A-D-I-O, the numeral 4, and then A-L-L, .org.
Yeah, and there's also ominousvalve.com.
That's a good one.
If you want to
I did a lot of research
there. Stedman's website, he has probably the most complete chronology. It has the chronology of everything that happened, I guess, since about 1990, since a lot of stuff happened. Our number for the manager's report is 713-526-5738. If you have questions for Dennis Fetters, the election supervisor, Donna Platt, the membership director, or me, Otis McClay, the program director. And what we're doing is Art Bell. When we answer, it means you are on the air. And I think we actually have a call. Let's see. It's magic. Okay, you're on the air. Who is this?
This is Matthew.
Hi, Matthew.
Hi. I was wondering how the Committee of Inclusion works and how one gets on there, and I'll hang up and listen.
Okay.
All right.
Good question.
Thanks.
The Committee of Inclusion is appointed by the lab.
Is it appointed or elected?
It's appointed.
Yeah.
That's what the language says. It's
okay.
Appointed by the lab. It is comprised of four people, and there are provisions in the bylaws to elect people. And again, these are lab members. These are in and among themselves, and there are provisions to elect other people who the lab believes would be good people to serve on it, and that's... I think they would vote on that. That would probably break down to a vote. And again, that is spelled out in our brand new bylaws. And their mission is to monitor the candidate outreach process. And they look to make sure that we are fulfilling our diversity requirements, if you want to call them that, although we really don't have any. But as I stated, that we're looking at the 50% figures, 50% people of color, 50% gender as a baseline.
One of the issues, one of the potential issues with the committees of inclusion was that one of the thoughts was that they would be able to postpone the election for two-week periods if the candidate pool wasn't diverse enough in their estimation. Now, that is not in the bylaws at this
time.
That
language is not in this set of bylaws, no.
But certainly you would be listening to the committees of inclusion as this develops, I assume.
Oh, certainly, certainly.
If this pool is beginning to look like it is a diverse pool or if it isn't.
Right. And we are giving ourselves a 60-day candidate nomination period. One other thing that is in our plans, we really haven't done it yet. I think we're going to announce it at the election committee meeting this week, is that we're going to make available every other off Sunday. The elections committee meets at 5 o'clock on Sundays here at the station. Well, we've been meeting every other week. Well, during the nominations period on that Sunday that we normally don't meet, we're going to actually meet in a subcommittee to specifically address candidate outreach issues. So I encourage anybody that wants to participate in this candidate outreach process, that is the time to come. And it's going to be, as I said, during the two-month candidate nomination period, we'll be meeting every other Sunday, and then we'll have our regular meeting on the subsequent weeks. So we'll be meeting, the bottom line is we'll be meeting at 5 o'clock on Sundays here at the station. From
is that this coming Sunday?
From 5 to 7, yes. We will be here on the 7th, I believe. So please come on down. We would love to have volunteers. There's a lot to do. We've got the single transferable vote process. That's something that we really haven't discussed. I guess without going into the formulas, what the single transferable vote method does is lower the threshold of electability. Whereas, you know, we're looking at, what do we have, 8,700 members here. If 20% of those voted, and we're hoping that we get much more than that. You know, you're looking at a winner take all would be looking at a threshold of 50% plus one vote. Well, the way that single transferable vote is formulated, the threshold is going to be down to about 100 votes, and again, that's based on a 20% voter turnout. So what that does in theory and also in practice is provide a better opportunity for people of all walks of life to be elected to the board. If you're looking at 100 votes out of all of the KPFT listener members to get elected, then that's a good thing in my book.
Yeah, this means that the chances of being on the board are greatly increased. You know, for any, I mean, you could just imagine if it was just a straight vote, that would be kind of weird.
Well, and yeah, and that's what we have been, that's what we've been conditioned for, that 50% plus.
The winner take all thing.
Winner take all, 50% plus one vote. With single transferable vote, it's going to greatly increase the chances of, you know, people that would unfortunately be just a marginal candidate under the winner take all form.
Yeah, you don't actually vote yes no for somebody. You actually rank your choice.
That's right.
There you vote one for your first choice and two for your second choice.
1 through 18.
Okay, 18
right.
Choices. So you choose you choose your perfect lab.
What?
And we're gonna have workshops too that explains the mm-hmm. single transferable vote as well. It's gonna kind of like it's been described as a human chessboard, and we're gonna videotape it because STV voting can be kind of dry. It's difficult to explain. There are a lot of formulas, but we're gonna make it a three-dimensional process.
Yeah, the Robin Lewis approach.
Right, exactly. And we're gonna videotape
the secretary
it.
Of the lab.
There's gonna be audio. Videotapes available. We're having some sent from one of the I can't think of the name right now, but they know STV inside and out. And
we call her. Hi.
Hello.
Who's that?
This is Courtney.
Hi, Courtney.
My question is real simple. I want to know physically how we vote. Is there going to be a mail out? Are we going to walk in and vote?
Good question.
Yeah.
Good question.
I'll just hang up.
Okay.
Thanks, Courtney.
We are going to mail the ballots out. They will be in two parts. They will...
The answer is you're going to mail ballots and people are going to vote and mail them back.
Exactly. We're going to mail them out. But we also have to have a process that ensures that there's not multiple ballots being given back to us or returned. So,
and that people are still in the ballot is a secret ballot.
The ballot is a secret ballot. It has to remain a secret ballot. And how we're going to do that, we're going to send out the ballots and then there will be a return envelope that's going to have a window, a see-through window. It will have a barcode on the ballot. We will then scan that barcode when we get that back, and that will tell us that the person that we sent the ballot to has in fact returned the ballot. And it's still an anonymous ballot at that point because we haven't even opened any of the envelopes, but we're just going to scan them. And once we do that process, then we got a big pile of envelopes, then we open them up, and then we tear the barcode portion off, and then we put the ballot with all of the rankings over in another pile, and then they become a truly anonymous ballot at that point, and then that's when we count them.
So we verified the ballot, and it's still anonymous.
Exactly.
How is the count itself actually going to be done?
That's a good question. We're still working on that. Again, this is the first time that we have done this. There is vote tabulation software that they have been using in Berkeley. You know, Berkeley has been dealing with this process. It actually started in 93, but they had the elections in 99 and 2000, I believe. And the intent is to use their tabulation software, and I am... arguing strongly that we incorporate optical scanning into the tabulation process. They have done manual, I think they had a dozen laptop computers all linked together last time, and two people at each computer manually inputting those totals. And I just feel that since we're going to be doing this on an annual basis, that we incorporate optical scanning into the process. This is something, optical scanning, you know, everybody's done a Scantron. That's been around for decades now. Mm-hmm. And I have been assured that that's something that can be done, but we're still working on it.
Now, are they going to be counted locally or nationally?
They're going to be counted locally. They will, there will be, probably won't be at the station, but we will have, we will announce where we're going to count them. You know, there's been some questions about the transparency of the counting process. It's our intent to have a gallery of some sorts if people want to come in and watch us, you know, from a respectable distance, you know.
Not the way they did it in Florida.
No. But our intent is to make this as open and transparent as possible. Keep it that way.
713-526-5738. This is the manager's report. We have about 11 minutes left for your calls. If you have questions about anything going on at the station, we're here with Donna Platt, the membership director. I'm Otis McClay, the program director. And with us is Dennis Fetters, the election supervisor. And
You know what?
Donna,
I forgot.
Also, we need to mention that there are some committee meetings coming up, the lead of which is the local advisory board meeting, which will happen next Wednesday at 7, and I'm not sure where. Do we know where? Because there was some question about meeting.
As to, I still think at this time it's at Leisure Learning.
Leisure Learning. I'm not sure. And we have, but you need to turn your radio down. Whoever is calling, turn your radio down. And now, are you with us?
Yes.
Hi, who's that?
My name's Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hi.
You're on
are
the
you
air?
Dead?
You're on the air.
I'm on the air?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes. I just cut on the radio. I really haven't been listening to the station because, like millions of Americans, I've grown extremely exasperated with what little bit left of the progressive media that we have left.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it seems that the few recent successes that we've had have kind of gone to our head, and we haven't realized the fact that we're losing more and more power each day. The electorate is becoming more and more ignorant, and that Pacifica, which is supposed to be dedicated to peace, is woefully losing this cultural battle, and that this kind of diversity and this kind of trying to make everyone feel good about themselves really detracts from the emergency that we're facing right now, which is educating people about this vast offensive that progressive ideals are experiencing in our country today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll listen to y'all comment on that.
Well, I mean, I have a comment. If you say you're not listening, then it would seem you wouldn't really know what kind of programming we've been doing in respect of the issues you're talking about. But I think we're doing a lot, actually. I mean, what immediately occurs to me is, you know, Democracy Now!, Flashpoints, Free Speech Radio News. We have a number of local shows, Progressive Forum. I mean, I'm sure we could do more. But it's always a question of how much you really can do. This assault on civil liberties from the government continues, and I think Pacifica continues to address it, certainly more than anyone else. I was listening to the news show yesterday, the weekend Sunday Monitor, and there was a report that was originally recorded at WKCR at Columbia University, a station that I worked for once. And it was a chilling report about a guy named Sherman Austin, who was a man of color, who was essentially railroaded into prison by the system for posting a link on a website. And it was a frightening report, and that we need to deal more and more with that process. Dissent has to be allowed in a free society, and the attempt of this government to prevent it is insane, because you can't have a society that's tearing itself apart like that.
Mm.
And that seems to be what these people want. Caller, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Jim.
Hi, Jim.
How are you?
Good.
And I've got a question about your upcoming election. I know that you all have put in an awful lot of time and effort into arranging for the election and getting the word of the various candidates out, but are you concerned at all that the whole thing will turn on some small percentage of, did you say, 8,700 listener members?
No, we're talking about the election to the local station board.
Oh, okay.
Not of the... it would. I think we'd do better nationally if we reduced it to the 8,700 Pacifica listeners myself.
Okay. All right, I guess I misunderstood when you talked earlier. So.
Yeah, what's happening, just as a recap for anybody who may have tuned in late, Pacifica, which is the Pacifica Foundation, which owns five radio stations in New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Washington, and here in Houston. That's about 40 million people that they reach collectively, is for the first time as a media outlet making it basically listener governed.
We're democratizing the airwaves.
This has never been done.
And there's also volunteers, right, Dennis? Talk about it won't be just those 8,700 listener sponsors.
Oh, I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yeah, I just thought of that.
Sure. There are provisions for someone to become a listener sponsor without paying $25. They can contribute, they can volunteer 3 hours of their time in the preceding 12 months prior to the election. And again, those specific timelines are in the bylaws, but basically 3 hours in the year preceding the election will gain a person volunteer listener member status and enable them to vote.
And we have a caller on the line. Who's that?
It's Carl.
I say again?
This is Carl.
Carl, hi.
Hi, Carl.
You have a question for Donna?
Well, kind of a comment, too. I used to be a subscriber to KPAT before the takeover, and I'm really glad to see you all have an election. And I felt alienated when y'all did have the takeover.
What takeover are you talking about?
Well, you know, the format here in Houston was primarily music and
It was primarily music after a previous takeover. Because prior to that, from 1970 until 1990, it was primarily public affairs.
Well, that's it's a matter of opinion, I guess.
No, it's a matter of history, actually.
Well, we're not going to agree on this, so, y'all have... See, that's the attitude that y'all have, is that you're right and nobody else is wrong.
Well, history's history. It's just the way it is.
No, it's full of interpretations.
Really?
Well, you
can look at the schedule.
But you're addressing my other point is that y'all are not balanced in your viewpoints. And I point to Channel 8. The Now program, Bill Moyers, has much more balance than anything that y'all put up. And if y'all could be more balanced, I would feel more...
What would you like to see as balance? What would be balance for you?
Counterpoints, two different viewpoints on there instead of just one viewpoint. And y'all don't also offer any really backup. Y'all just say, stuff, and you really don't have any backups, about facts and where we could go look it up.
If you listen to the local news, I know they do a ton of fact checking, and they also have links on their website that you can check out. But I've had concerns about the balance, too. But if you think about it, we are the balance. We provide the balance to the general media. And I understand what you're saying about Bill Moyers. I understand what you're saying about Channel 8. I actually used to work there. I like to think we're a little more spicy here. We like to get people thinking. And, we carry Bill Moyers. He has great programs. Honestly, Bill Moyers sometimes is a little too controversial for Channel 8. I do remember.
Some
debates on that. But
there have been some Bill Moyers shows that they've not carried.
Exactly. So, yeah, we do, I think, try to provide the balance to mainstream media. And, you know, public TV is often included in that mainstream media.
And my counterpoint to that is that if you come across just as unbalanced as the right wing, then that's going to turn off intelligent, independent people like myself. That,
right. And we hope that, you know, you hear something that you may disagree with and do your own research. That's what I've done. I've heard a lot of things here that I question, and, you know, I still believe it's a great place to voice your opinion and get people to start thinking differently, and then hopefully you will take it and look into it yourself. You know, we're not always right. We're not saying we're not always right.
I don't hear that attitude at all. Mm-hmm.
Well, you call in on the shows, Carl?
Yeah.
No, not really. This is mm-hmm. the first time in a while, actually. And I just have, a lot of times during the day I'm working, I don't have opportunity to call in.
Well, do that. And, you know, if you do hear something, take it upon yourself to find out the facts. You know, people on the air, it may seem like they think they're always right. It's the nature of the personality, I think. And I think we've got to get to the next caller, Carl.
Carl, thanks. Okay. And I actually am listening to what you're saying.
Okay.
Yeah,
we are.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye.
Hey, you're the last caller. Who's this?
Oh, yeah. Is this Dwayne's report?
Well, it's Dwayne's report being done by Donna, Odie, and Dennis.
Okay. Well, just quickly. The last guy just doesn't really listen to your show. It takes listening. And Bill Moyers is not really indicative of, like, Aiton or whatever else goes on. He's an entity unto himself. You guys have pretty much everything, but nobody is perfect. Well,
I think
really
Bill Moyers is about as tough as he can be on PBS.
Hey, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But you have to know it's the art of listening. You know, try and catch all the shows to get an idea of what their output input is about, because there is a balance, and you guys definitely create what's not out there, you know. But people just have to, like, get in touch with, like, what you're about, and apparently he hasn't, but he's on the right path. I got to your show late anyway, but my call is about Dwayne, when are we going to have some jazz on the show again?
Oh boy.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because I know a couple of years ago, I think it was on a Saturday and Sunday, you had something called Across Borders in the Evening, which like a melange of, like, different types of music.
Okay, we got to go real quick. Miles Willis, who did Milestones.
Miles was jazz. Right.
Miles moved to Washington.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Currently, what we have, the best thing I can say about that is from 3:30 to 5:30 on Wednesday. Osei does the afternoon show.
I hear you.
Okay, there's a great portion of that is jazz.
Right.
And the answer to your question is, we don't know. And we know that there's a hole in the schedule.
Oh, it's a big void, man.
Yeah.
And it definitely needs to be filled.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a sore festering.
And we are working on a true world music program.
Okay.
That is in the works.
Cool. Well, hey, works in progress is what it's about.
Yeah.
You know?
We want it to be good.
Okay. Well, like, I'm behind you guys, and I give you whatever support I can.
Great.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You're invoked. And maybe you should run as a candidate.
Something to consider.
What I'd like to do is be able to come into town and volunteer some of my time for you guys.
Absolutely.
Do it.
I'm just stuck in the woodlands, and it's really tough. But, like, I'll find a way.
Yeah,
okay.
We'll email volunteer at kpft.org, and we'll get you set up.
All righty.
Okay?
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. The call on the lineup, we can't take it. It's actually 1 o'clock now, and I have to push a button there. And we kind of have to be out of here in 20 seconds for the BBC News. This has been the Manager's Report. Donna Platt, Membership Director, Dennis Fetters, Election Supervisor, and I'm Otis McClay, Program Director. Thank you all for listening, for your support. The webpage has a lot of stuff about meetings. That's kpft.org. And let's go to the BBC.
BBC News with Sue Montgomery.
This is KPFT Houston.
The widow of the British government scientist David Kelly has told the Hutton inquiry into his death that he felt betrayed.